In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This ad is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. One thing Nat and I do well is have fun. Fun is our chance to let loose, be silly, connect with friends, and live in the moment. Whether it's in our backyard with family and friends or on tour with all of you, we will never skim on a fun time. And you know who else doesn't skim? ByHeart, especially when it comes to your babies. ByHeart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. And you know what else they don't skim on? Protein. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk thanks to the two most abundant proteins found in breast milk, plus broken down proteins. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code unfiltered20 for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I think the thing is, people think of relationships, and you probably have to clarify this a lot, that it's only sex, right? People hear about like non-monogamy, and they're like, so it goes right to that. And is that how much of that is, what percentage of the relationship is that versus everything else?
Drop it like a hat.
Natalie, what do I do?
I hope it's giddy.
Oh my gosh. I was reading the notes from this. I remember when this came in and I was like, oh God, we need these people on here. And then I read it. I was like, holy shit, I need a deep dive into this thing. And I know that eventually, you know, thanks to like your, you putting everything out there, that one day we won't be, this won't be shocking, because it'll give right. people more options to know that it's okay to do it different ways. But I yeah. am, because it's my first time hearing this, and that might be really prude of me, but I almost fell off my chair.
Not prude. You know what? Okay. Unique.
No, I'm not unique. I'm the opposite of open-minded.
No, unique, like it's a unique way of living for now, or with that openly.
So I
think most people are going to fall off their chairs.
Yeah. I mean, look, I remember a time not too long ago where if I had heard the details of my life now, I probably would have fallen off my chair. So like, it's all, you know, gradual, and we get used to it, but
that's what you have to remind yourself. Like the situation that you're in right now, life is long. You never say never.
Rachel, I have a really, I don't know if it's inappropriate, but how old are you? Just so, because I think that really does matter in terms of living, you know, and how people are living. If you don't know, we're going to get to what we're talking about, but I want to know how old you are before we get there.
Yeah, I'm 35.
Okay. That, you know,
so I'm not a baby.
No, but I feel like every 10 years, for people who are in their 40s, 35, what you guys are doing at 35 and what they're doing at 25, it is different than what used to be 25, 35, 45. Does that make sense? Like the age matters 100%. Right now.
Yeah, like now we talk about our kids and we are never going to assume that, number one, they're going to have to choose any title at all, or that they're gonna, like, it's not like, oh, when you get married to, yeah, I can't wait to see who, yep, my daughter-in-law is gonna be. It's like, phew, everybody, so buckle
hot,
up.
Hot tip, if you don't know what we're talking about, get ready. This is Rachel, and, well, go ahead, Natalie.
Okay, I'm gonna do the intro. Yeah. Isn't there someone named Rachel Wright Penn?
Sean Wright Penn.
Different first name.
What's her name different. Again? Robin. Okay, got it.
Robin.
Okay, here's the intro. We have Rachel Wright on our podcast today, and we're really excited about this conversation. It's about her personal story because it's just so juicy. Wait. Rachel has her master's degree in clinical psychology and runs her own psychotherapy practice for couples, non-traditional relationships, individuals, and is also a trusted voice in the sexual wellness and relationship media space. She hosts her own show, The Right Conversations. Okay, ready? Rachel and her wife, Ashley, are now both pregnant. Their babies are due 11 weeks apart, and they're expecting their triad first and second children along with their third partner. Yeah, ear.
It's Hebrew. It's like, yeah, and then ear.
Yeah, ear. Okay. All right.
So just so we know, he is the father of both children.
Yes. Yeah. He is the biological dad of both kids.
And did you guys, I never know, like, fertility, like, what the, sometimes.
You can ask me anything.
Okay, can ask me. So did you, the three of you try to make it so that it happened around the same time? And it freaking worked?
And it worked. It was looking a little, as anybody who's gone through a trying to conceive process knows, like, every cycle is like, whew, okay. And it feels a lot longer often than what it actually is. So, you know, every cycle that came around once I was pregnant felt like, oh no, are we going to get to do this like we wanted to? And it happened. So we're about a trimester apart and just so, so excited. You know, I can't make a biological baby with Ashley, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So this is what we get to do together, and we get to be pregnant together and be moms together. And it's amazing.
Is he in the relationship as like a traditional male partner to both of you, or is there primary relationships within a triad?
It is totally not hierarchical. The three of us are completely even, I guess people would describe it as. The two of them did know each other before. Wait, I came along.
I feel like we should start from the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. And then we can have the background how these three ended up together. Go.
You got it. All right. So I'll be as short as I possibly can. We met online, which is hilarious.
Who met online?
I met Yair online first. And my partner at the time and I were non-monogamous, as were Ashley and Yair. Yair and I met. We started talking. Very quickly, Ashley introduced herself to me. I thought Ashley was unbelievably gorgeous, funny, amazing. We connected. I introduced my then partner to them, and the four of us all started dating.
Okay. I like that background because, like, I didn't quite know. I thought it was sort of like her and her mark and me and my mark, like in like traditional relationships. And then all of a sudden we all just got friendly and it all worked. So you were both couples were in non-monogamous relationships. Because I was thinking, how did they convince all four of them to be a part of this? Okay, so that makes more sense. Okay.
I mean, I will say that, like, while we were all non-monogamous, none of us were looking to uproot our kind of like foundational structure. You know, I never really imagined that I would be living with someone else or that I would share a bank account with other people. Like, it was non-monogamy in the sense of we were not monogamous and we were dating other people and having relationships with other people, whether that was platonic or sexual or romantic or a combination. But I certainly did not expect to like find two life partners. That was like not in the in the vision board.
How long had each couple been together?
Kyle and I had been together for about seven or eight years. Whoa. At that time. Yeah.
And the other couple?
Yeah. Ashley and Yair were together for probably like five or six years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So these were like very well established. Yeah. This was not like a, you know, new thing. And so we all started dating. And by all of us, I'll clarify, Kyle and Yair were never romantically or sexually involved. Though we operated as kind of a unit. So Ashley and I are both queer. So we are in relationship with each other. And I am also in relationship with Yair. I was in relationship with Kyle. I can give that overview in a second. And then Ashley was also, again, with all three. And then each guy was with each of us, the women. But they were very, very, very close.
They're okay. And did you ended up living together?
Yeah. So about a year, it was about a year and a half into dating, we all moved in together, which again was like not part of what I ever imagined. But similar to, you know, a monogamous relationship where you're like, I'm looking for this. And then you meet somebody and you're like, I guess I am doing this now because that's what's here. And like, that's what feels good. And that's what is seemingly coming up in this situation. That's what happened. We all moved in together.
Four bedrooms or a California king?
A little bit of both. It's a house and there's two primary bedrooms. So, and then two other bedrooms, but really two primary bedrooms. And we all kind of rotated around for sleeping.
I would just think that I would like naturally just prefer one over time, but I guess you say it's equal.
Yeah, not me. I mean, and maybe somebody would, you know, think like for me, I experience non-monogamy, polyamory as an orientation. So in the same way that like I'm queer and I have red hair and that's how I was born. That's how I experience non-monogamy. For some people, it's a total choice. They're like, I could take it or leave it. I don't know. And then for other people, they experience monogamy as their orientation, right? They're like, I literally can't fathom being in love with more than one person or having this type of relationship with more than one person. But in reality, we all kind of do, right? Like people have more than one child. People have more than one friend. People have more, like we... In every other type of relationship that we have, it is the social norm to love more than one person and recognize that we're going to get different things from different people and relationships. But with romance and sex, the norm is monogamy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like on shows like The Bachelor, right? Mm-hmm. We hear like, I can't believe I fell in love with two people. And it's
right.
Like, yeah, like they're different. And ultimately that show, the goal is monogamy. So they pick one and that's fine. But yeah, it's not so crazy. Like we do this with friends constantly.
That's right. That's like those bachelors and those bachelorettes should be like, maybe I should open up my mind to loving more than one because they've all proven that they can.
Well, hold on. Let's take a quick break and we'll go on that.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been following us, you know we are last-minute planners when it comes to summer, except for this year. We even have one of our kids going to overnight camp for a month, a whole month. We're super excited for them, but we are getting anxious about not seeing them for that long. How will they cope? Will they make friends? Will they be homesick? We all have our own unique set of stressors, varying in size and significance, yet when we hold on to them, they can gradually take a toll on our well-being. Fortunately, therapy provides a safe space where you can get things off your chest and find effective strategies to work through whatever is weighing you down. Therapy offers a place to discover strategies for stress reduction and balance in your life, helping you face life's challenges with new strength. Like when your tween goes to overnight camp for a month and you're trying to put on a brave face. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, designed for convenience, flexibility, and tailored to fit your schedule. Simply complete a short questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist, knowing you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/catandnat today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/catandnat.
I think what the thing is, people think of relationships, and you probably have to clarify this a lot, that it's only sex, right? People hear about like non-monogamy and they're like, it goes right to that. And is that, how much of that is, what percentage of the relationship is that versus everything else?
It's different for different people, in the same way that one person's monogamous relationship might have a lot of sexuality and another one might not.
Like, do you all have to have the same sexual
appetite?
Or no, you don't. Because no, you're connected on more than just sex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these...
They're in love.
No, I know. I'm saying for people who might not, because I think that's what everyone thinks.
Yeah. No, the assumption is almost always, before anybody learns anything, is like, well, this is just for sex. Mm-hmm. And I do want to be clear, like, some people are non-monogamous for outside sexual experiences. And that's perfectly fine, right? Like, that's kind of what swinging is.
Mm-hmm. And cheating.
though that is not consensual.
No, I'm just saying, you know, that a lot of people are in non-monogamous relationships. They don't know it. So it's not like it's not a norm. It's just not consensual for the other person.
Exactly. And in the case of, you know, me, like, if I'm personally looking for something outside of my home relationship, regardless of whether that's 2, 3, 4 people, it could depend. I might be looking for a sexual experience. I might be looking for a romantic partnership. It just varies. So for us, like, the best way to describe it would be a typical long-term partnership that we're all kind of used to seeing, mm-hmm. but there's 3 of us and not 2. So, like, the balance of sex and emotions and house chores and childcare and taking care of our dog and, you know, going on vacation, all of that shit is the exact same.
Are you still non-monogamous?
Are you? Oh, yeah.
All 3 of you.
All 3 of you are still not. So there's ability to go have, but not relationships, just non-monogamous.
They can have romance outside too.
There are relationships. In fact, I am the only one out of the 3 of us that currently doesn't have a partner outside of our triad right now.
Okay.
So both Ashley and Yair have other partners outside of me.
How do you mentally have space?
We're all talking about something that we, the 3 of us, know, but the listeners are like, where the fuck did Kyle go?
Yeah. So, yeah, let me circle back to that. So first of all, hi Kyle, if you're listening to this. Kyle and I are on wonderful, wonderful terms. We were together for about a decade when we decided to split up. And that was a mutual decision on everybody's part. It was a group discussion after many, 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 many hours and tears and figuring things out. We were ready to move into child rearing and moving into like a next phase of life. And Kyle was not. And that combined with a few other things, it just, the relationship was successful for 10 years and it was no longer serving us in the way that we wanted it to. So we all split up and he is living in Brooklyn and kicking butt as doing what he's doing. And he is so incredibly supportive of these babies, of our relationship. We interact pretty frequently. You know, he was my best friend for like a decade. He's an important person to me, but we're no longer in partnership.
Wow, that's so nice. You know?
What kind of things, I mean, I think that there's so much that the, you know, I think a lot of people have relationships that aren't sexual outside of their marriage, right? That are their outside of their monogamous relationship that are very accepted and very traditional and, you know, friendship and, you mm-hmm. know, having the moms groups that you go to all the time in terms of like motherhood and this next step. How, like, is there constant conversation about what's happening, how everyone's feeling? Like, how does the because just what two people relationships are so complicated and there's so much history and life between everybody. The thought of having a third person to negotiate, I don't know, feels a little bit crazy.
Yes, but I'm going to add a side note before she answers. I'm so jealous that they get to live it and do it because we ended up making it happen for us, basically living together, sleeping at home, but doing babies together. And
they, but I'm not sleeping. We're not having sex.
Yeah, but we
because sex complicates a lot, right? Sexual sex for many complicates lots.
For some people, it does. Mm-hmm. I would say for me, it simplifies things. And again, like we're all wired differently. So like to me, somebody who I have sex with is not more. Excuse me, it's not more important to me than someone I don't have sex with, right? Like,
yeah,
my closest friend is not less of a priority to me because we don't lick each other's genitals.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You totally. I like that you went there and licked each other's genitals.
Totally. Yeah, totally. and we get that. We totally get that, right? We have that too. What about all of your families adopting this, which I don't know where you're all from, but I would say that I would be surprised to say that all of your parents are like, oh my gosh, totally, totally good. We're good with this. No problem. Grandma's going to love this story. How do you
deal with
that?
I got to say now, like currently in April of 2024, that is where everybody is.
All of the three families.
Yes, all of them. Now, it was not gung-ho that way from conversation number one. And I think it's also important to name that, like, we do a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. Like, you mentioned before the amount of, like, talking and how is this feeling and what are we doing and blah, 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 blah. That's the level of communication that I personally, especially as a therapist and like a deeply feeling human, I was bringing that into my monogamous relationships. I was trying to bring that into my platonic relationships, my friendships, my family relationships. Like that's just how I function. So yes, does it add more time to like have a third person in a meeting that like would be two people? Sure. It's also really helpful sometimes to have a third person's perspective when like, two of you are like, I don't know, we're kind of bickering about this. And the third one's like, you guys are being idiots. Like, did you not just hear what the other person said? And it's actually really helpful sometimes. So our parents have very different backgrounds. We're all from really different places. I'm originally from California. Yair is from Manhattan, born and raised. Ashley's originally from Florida. And Yair's parents are still together. Mine and Ashley's are both divorced, and some are remarried, some aren't. So there's like a a web of extended family and parents going on. And, you know, they're all coming to the baby shower. They're all incredibly excited and, you know, refer to their two grandchildren coming. It's not like, oh, my one that's from you. And then this other one that's going to like be in your house. Like it's very much like my two grandkids.
Wow.
And, you know, they all have different levels of involvement mm-hmm. in how many details they want about things or how close their relationships are to, you know, the others. But again, it's so similar to like, I've dated people in the past in monogamous relationships where their parents weren't really involved mm-hmm. in our lives. And then I've dated people where like their parents were like, let me come over every Sunday and I want to hear what's going on, you know? And it's kind of similar to that. It doesn't feel different based on the non-monogamy aspect. It feels different based on like who the parent is and where they live and how much they're interested in being involved.
You know, we have a lot of shows like TLC, the sister wives, right? So there's a lot of narrative where there's like a man who's in charge and then there's jealousy and they have their intricate relationships. And, you know, a lot of it is about they have more attention on this one and that's the favorite. And I think that how evolved are all three of you as people that you can not be jealous of the other one or not? Because I'm assuming within the relationships, you all have different connections in different... Are all three of you ever all together? Like, is it all like...
Oh, yeah. All the time. I mean, as much as we can with work schedules and life. Yeah.
And even like sex too. It's like three... Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's not like one day, then there's not like a rotating schedule.
We do rotate the sleep schedules because frankly, it is so uncomfortable to sleep three people in a king size bed. Like the middle person is just hot and gross and can't roll
especially
around.
Especially pregnant.
Oh my God. No. hard pass on that. Literally, aside from sleeping, we will try to be together, except for date nights that we have for dyads, right? So, like, let's say Thursday night.
Did she say dyad?
Yes.
What is that?
Dyad is a pair, like two. Dyad versus triad.
You're in a dyad.
I'm in a dyad too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thruple's gone. That word's gone.
I mean, it's not gone.
Okay.
I think it's just... I think the word thruple elicits a response.
Yep, I get what you're saying. Yep, I get it. Yeah. It seems like a sexual situation rather than a relationship.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
I was wondering, just if anybody's listening who's like, you know, I love hearing this, like I'm, you know.
This resonates with me.
Out of curiosity, and there might not be like, an answer to this that makes sense, but I'm just thinking. Kat and I come from like, you know, divorced families, remarried kids from all, like very like open families. Was it harder for Yair's parents' family because they were like always still married, like in a very traditional setting? Was it harder for them? Or is it really just the personality of the person? It's not necessarily like I'm thinking like for us, I feel like we could tell our parents anything. They'd be like, great, we love you. But I would feel like if your parents were like married and only done that, that it would be harder.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that could certainly play out that way. It didn't happen to play out that way with his family. They're super open-minded. You know, at first there were like questions about what was going on and like who I was. You know, it was like, why is this lady here?
Oh, right. Because they had a traditional, you were new.
Yeah. I mean, and they frankly weren't, Yair and Ashley weren't sharing so much about their non-monogamy prior to me and Kyle being around. So for some of the people that were finding out, his parents included, they were like, wow, we just learned a whole lot of information. Like we learned that you're non-monogamous. We now know that Ashley is queer. And we learned, like, it was just a lot. Mm. Whereas for my family, they knew I was non-monogamous. They knew I was queer. So like the only shift was like, I met people who my life is changing around. And so like for different people, there were like these varying degrees of like, whoa. And so like that kind of also informed the timeline to which people were like, oh, okay. And like now, you know, I was just up in Toronto with Yair's family for Passover. And it's, I feel just a part of the family as, you know, Ashley does. And we don't get weird looks or like, it's just, it just is. And once you're, I've heard from a lot of people, our parents included, that like once you're around us, mm-hmm. even for like a dinner, the overall sentiment is like, oh, this just is normal.
Just get over it. You just get over it.
And we never let you answer the question, but like jealousy you're feeling like, you know, but I will say, I feel like that was the first thing too, when people used to get artificially inseminated, you know, and people used to be like that, they did that. And now it's
so true.
And now it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's that's like, nothing. Are you going to, you know? So I feel like you're right. It is when you begin to know people and normalize it, it's not like, what do you mean? It's
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's no,
it's like, remember when people came out as gay in 1955? And
yeah.
They're like, oh, this alternative lifestyle.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, are you gay? Are you straight? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
who you like. So no jealousy. There's no feelings of insecurity.
No, there's jealousy.
Oh.
Of course there's jealousy and insecurity. Jealousy and insecurity are human emotions. It's like, if you're in a monogamous relationship, do you not feel jealous? Do you not feel insecure? Like, they're
no.
Jealousy and insecurity is about us.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
It has nothing to do, a lot of the time, sometimes mm-hmm. it does. A lot of the time, it has nothing to do with the stability of the relationship or mm-hmm. the comfort of the relationship. It has to do with ourselves, right? So, like, if I, this pregnancy, for example, I'm not going out and drinking or doing whatever I want to do substance-wise. Mm-hmm. So if Yair can go out with someone, be it a friend, a partner, doesn't really matter who, and is like, I'm just going to go have like five beers. He doesn't do this, but this is whatever. Okay. I'm just going to go out and like have some beers and let loose. I might feel envious of that because I can't do it right now. Mm-hmm. And then I might feel insecure like, oh, like I can't access this part of me with him right now. And that makes me sad. And so I'm feeling jealous because it feels like this person is somehow like a threat to this thing that we shared. But that's not about the stability of the relationship or anything like that. It's like, I want to do the thing and mm-hmm. I can't
have it. Yeah.
And, yeah. And so like that can happen, right? If Ashley and Yair have date night and they go to a restaurant that I've been wanting to try, mm-hmm. I might feel envious, but
that's a you thing. That's not a them thing.
Yeah. That's a me thing. Yeah. Right. And unless I have an ask like, hey, can we save this restaurant for the three of us to go to? I really want to go. Yeah. Sure. Then probably they'll save it. Right. And we'll all go together. But if I don't say anything, that's mm-hmm. not up to them. So like, of course, jealousy and insecurity exists, but the ability to work through those emotions and like learn how to sit with some of it and learn where it's coming from has been such a gift in my life.
They're so evolved.
That's what I said. They have to be so evolved to have, because you have to even know that you're jealous or insecure about, right? So that's what I mean. Like, I think a lot of monogamous relationships that I know of in our world, in our community that I know of, women, you would be the heavy lifter of the relationship. And you would be the one who's like, guys, let's talk about, I'm sensing that there's something going on. I'm going to plan date night. You know, it would be you. And so
being the woman,
being her.
Oh,
it would actually be Rachel in, if she was in a monogamous relationship, I'm talking, mm-hmm. she would be the one mm-hmm. who's like, something's not right. I'm feeling like you would give them grace knowing it was your issue, not theirs. Mm-hmm. Where not everyone, it would become the other person's issue very quickly. And
right.
a lot of things would go on there. So are the three of them as reflective and self-aware? Because I think that's where most relationships break down, is your own self.
Were they naturally like that? Or did you have to help them get there because you are, because of what
a therapist?
That's a really great question. A little bit of both. I would say that they were naturally like that. And I helped them, especially at the beginning, with like some communication structure and tools and identification. And then it reversed. Then I started having like And freaking out. And I was having a hard time, especially around when the Kyle stuff started going on. You know, I was feeling like really destabilized when we were first kind of starting to decouple and feeling like, oh my gosh, if he leaves, I'm the like other person here all of a sudden. You know, I'm the one that is newest and I'm the one that's this. And it was really, it created a lot of feelings in me that I was not familiar with and that I was not used to dealing with. And so there we were, my two partners helping me for like a year, really gain stability back in my day-to-day life and my relationships. So it has alternated, you know, and I think that the biggest thing is that the three of us are so deeply committed to working on things, whether that is ourselves, whether that is a relationship thing. Never once, and I don't use the word never often, has one of us been like, no, I won't do that thing that could help.
Wow.
Like we are all very, very pro therapy. We're pro talking to friends and family. We're pro doing whatever it is that we need to do to help make the thing better and to heal the thing.
Is that like a common theme in people's relationships that they just, that it's like, it's always the other person's fault? Because it sounds like you take, you all take a lot of your own responsibility. And I'm assuming, you know, it sort of amplifies what you're saying with three, just amplifies what you should be doing with two, but you can probably get away with it a lot easier not doing it because there's two of you and someone can just kind of make it better. Is there, is the theme that, you know, in relationships for them to be successful, both of you have to be like, I've got shit, you've got shit, we can figure this shit out. It not one person just always has to have the shit.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly, you know, when I'm talking about like, it's basically a two-person relationship, but with three, that's, you nailed it. Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. And as a therapist that like has specialized in couples for a really long time, it is very common for one person to kind of fall into this role of like, I'm the problem. I'm the one that needs to fix this thing. And then the other person saying like, yeah, you are the problem, you know, and it's like, yes, we all have our own things that we can adjust and shift and change and blah, 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 blah. And there's like a relational thing going on too. And so it's very rare that like the other person has zero impact or responsibility in something that's coming up in a relationship. But the person who like is bringing the thing forward, they got to be able to step up and say like, I take responsibility for healing this, right? Like I see this a lot with like pop psychology stuff. People will be like, I'm triggered. You broke my boundary. That's not my attachment style.
You're gaslighting me.
These words that like don't mean what they think they mean. And like people use the word triggered to as like an excuse to like be a dick. It's just like, it's so messy out there. And like being triggered is a real thing. And
what did you call that? Pop psychology.
Pop psychology.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I had a question that I wanted to
do. Did we
make
take
sure
a second break?
Okay, let's take a break right now.
No, I don't know if we did. I can't remember.
No, I don't think so. I remember taking the first break.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Okay, second break. Okay.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's two. Okay, the first one was just, it was back when, is it your business? When you say that Ashley and Yair's have other partners, is it your business to know who they are?
In our relationship structure, yes. Okay. So we have relationship agreements that then, of course, those other people know.
Are they
about
contracts too, written on paper?
No, we just call it, a lot of people use the word rules, mm-hmm. like, what are you allowed to do? And it's like, these are not my parents. Like, this is not, we're not setting rules for each other. We're creating agreements as peers in a relationship. So our relationship agreements include, you know, disclosing things like who we're seeing. Okay. And in our case, you know, with these people currently, I have a relationship, not a romantic or sexual mm-hmm. relationship, but I have a relationship with each of these other people. And they're wonderful. And I like them a lot. And, you know, one of them has been around longer than the other. And like that person and I are actually quite close. And like I value them as a dear friend in my life. And so it's really nice, you know, if
wow.
they want to come over to the house and hang out, it's like, yeah, come on over. It's just like, it feels really good. You know, it's like meeting your partner's best friend in a way, right? Wow. Like it's yeah.
How will this change, do you think, with children involved in terms of it being, you know, who comes into the house or who is a, will that, is this going to change the dynamic and, you know, or I guess you don't know till you have the baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that it's like, I don't mm-hmm. fucking know. Mm-hmm. Like, they,
yeah,
some
fair.
People are like, do you think you'll go out as much? And I'm like, well, I'm guessing not, but I can't yeah. tell you how that will shift. You know, in terms of other partners meeting the kids, the way that I look at it is I have had so many friends, and I think a lot of us could probably relate to this. I have had so many friends in my life that I'm like, this person's going to be in my life for yeah. a long time. Fast forward a year later, and like, I don't talk to them,
yep.
right? Like, not because something mm-hmm. terrible happened, but like, life is life, and mm-hmm. friends come and go. And so I'm not so worried about like introducing them to a friend,
yeah.
to a partner right. of a partner, right. and then having them like, not be there. Be around. This right. isn't a step parent. This is like, you know, mommy's friend.
Totally.
And especially as babies, like they don't more love and more care is more love and more care. Like,
do your babies,
they don't even.
Do your babies going to have two moms and one dad?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's really important? Like right now you're on our podcast, you have your show. Do you feel like it's important for you to share this story and for other people to hear and like why?
Oh man. Yes, I absolutely do. And I often get the question of like, as a therapist, why do you share so much about your personal life? Which is a valid question because a lot of times therapists are not open around their own lives, right? They want to keep more of this like blank slate kind of idea. And I kind of have the opposite perspective, which I know that there are other therapists out there that share this with me, which is I'm a human. And part of healing and growth is learning about other people's human experiences and seeing somebody living in a way that is different from you is really helpful in understanding things outside of our own bubbles. You know, especially with social media, we all live in echo chambers.
Yeah.
Like no matter where you fall politically, socially, like we just hear the same stuff over and over and over again. And that can be really scary, zoomed out. And so it's important to me to share who I am, what's going on, to like, A, normalize it. Like, I'm just a person. I have insecurities and feelings, and I get sad and jealous, and I don't communicate perfectly all the time, even though I teach people to communicate well. Like, I'm just a person. And my career is in therapy and education, and I'm polyamorous. And like, these are all aspects of me. And I think that the more that we can all feel comfortable to talk about all aspects of ourselves, the better the world will be. Like, so much hate is out of ignorance, and we can't not be ignorant if we don't know what's going on and learn. And so it has to start somewhere. And I think that a really accessible place for that to start is self-disclosure.
Yeah. I think also, too, if people really thought about it and didn't get so caught into the one way history, like if you go back to the days of when people, it was usually women all lived together and there was a man and they lived together alongside each other, and it wasn't a monogamous relationship, right? So if you look at where it started, it's not that far from where it is now in terms of how we live, because we've only isolated, monogamy really isolated women and put them in a place that made life really hard, where when you have more support, if you take out what everyone perceives the sexual side of it, if you look at the support of living together, you know, most cultures outside of North America live together with family and friends and in a community and rely on each other. It's not so unique in, if you look big picture at what you're doing, it's actually really fucking smart.
Oh my gosh, I know.
You know?
And you know, when I asked you about like telling your story and when you explained it like that, it kind of reminds me of why we started doing what we were doing, was that we felt that people weren't talking about the truth behind motherhood and showing all the things that aren't perfect and hearing everybody else's stories and sharing their stories. It's the same thing. It's like there is...
Well, think how many people are living in non-monogamous relationships without it being consensual. So they're just doing it and maybe their person would consent if it was a conversation like you're having, and you're like, oh, actually we could make it work like this.
Yeah. And when people ask in the beginning, I'm not trying to turn this back, talk about us, but I feel like it's the same idea that when our kids, people asked our kids in the beginning, what do your moms do for work? It's hard to explain what we do. But I remember when our kids said, my mom helps other moms. And even though we weren't a doctor and we weren't a therapist, just sharing the stories makes other people feel less alone. And so you doing that, it's the same thing. You're creating more space for people to feel like less lonely and less like weird, or and it's actually like your mission of talking about it is yours is gonna can help change the world.
Thank you. And so can yours. I mean, look, even in this pregnancy, there have been so many things. Like, I educate people around sex. I know a lot about the body and reproduction, and I've been teaching this for a long time. And almost daily, there is something that happens in my own body that I'm like, what on earth is going on?
Mm-hmm. Puffer fish down
and
there.
And the amount, you know? Right? Like, but, the amount of things that are not talked about that happen during pregnancy, or the ripples from what happens during pregnancy. Like, So we just need to talk more about all of it.
And I think I just want to say that I feel like, I don't know Ashley and I don't know Yair, but I feel like your baby's going to be really lucky to have you as a mom, because you're just,
Two moms,
and you're so open minded. You're so good at communicating. And
who
it
has their
like,
baby first?
I'm due first.
Okay,
I'm due first.
Okay, oh, you know what? That's a way to go, because I don't know if I'd want to know. When I got to the hospital, I didn't go to the classes, and I was in the triage room, and someone ended up having a baby beside me, like in the triage room. And I dead serious. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
He's like, I opt out now?
He goes, you have to do this. I go, I'm not, take me home. I'm like, I'm going home. And he's like, you can't go home. I'm like, I'm going home. I'm not doing this. I think they were like, get her in a room immediately before she walks out the door. I'm like, no, please. No.
And you know that when Kat and I went to go have her second and my third, we literally did what you guys did. We just didn't tell our husbands the plan. We're like, let's go get pregnant together, like now, so we can have our babies
and
together.
They're 2 weeks apart.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, it worked. Like,
we were young. Incredible. We didn't know it just happened. Like, we didn't know the struggles because people didn't talk about it. Yeah. There was no Instagram about infertility. And we were like,
let's go try and get pregnant. Right. Oh my God, it worked. Oh my God, we're having babies. Oh God, how are we going to tell our husbands this?
I'm pregnant and amazing. She's pregnant.
Yeah, we're not as good at communication as you are. Our communication's fine.
It's a lot more sneaky, if you know what I mean. Let's go have sex tonight.
But I love it. Like, what a beautiful example of a platonic relationship that's functioning with like deep trust and communication and wanting to experience things together. Like, it's not so different, right? Like,
yeah, it's not so different.
What I'm saying, it's not so different.
Apart. It's, yeah.
No, we said we're actually better wives, better moms, better friends because of each other. Because when you have someone to be like, this is normal, you are a better person. And when you want to beat the shit out of one topic and your husband is like, I'm exhausted from work and I don't want to hear about why the baby's crying, you know, because they tap out too. You have your outlet. So that's true. You just figured it out to be under one house.
I cannot imagine my life. I mean, look, I love Yair. He's like an incredible, in terms of men, he is like the most evolved, emotional, communicative, unbelievable partner. And I cannot imagine my life without Ashley. Like, I would absolutely go banana bonkers insane. Like, So it just balances. The three of us are like this like stable foundation.
It's, wow. Well, you have been such a pleasure to talk to. And I think I learned more than I thought I would walking into this podcast. And just thank you for being so honest, like authentic. And I hate that word. I hate that word. But
it's really, there's really not another word for it.
No, it's people stole it, but I'm giving it back to you because people
psychology stole it.
Yeah, they stole it. They just made it this thing of like, you know, showing up like naked online and being authentic. No, authentic is being you. And, so thank you.
And learning about your relationship. And
thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for sharing. And also I know that I had read somewhere that you said that there's a lot of ways that people will refer to your relationship or a triad or polyamorous in I don't know what the word that you had said, but something like in a rude derogatory way. And it's been really nice talking about this relationship and respecting and understanding it. Side note, because this was not about sex. I know that you know all about sex and I read that you're a kink and I don't fucking know what that means. I'd love to have you back on for another Friday so we can talk about sex.
Would love it.
I kink.
favorite topic.
Oh, what's a kink?
It's
you said you're a kink, right? When you reintroduce yourself. Mm-hmm. What? I got it wrong? What? I thought it said I'm a kink.
No.
What does that mean?
A kink is not something that you are. It's something that you have. Like, I have a kink, or like I am kinky, but it's not like a noun.
Do you talk about your kinky?
Oh, sometimes. This is where my one line is as a therapist, is that like,
yeah,
if my client can imagine me doing sexual things because of things that I've shared about myself, I have gone too far.
Okay.
So I try to like talk about it generally. I'm super, you know, educated, and like a lot of my clients are like deep in the kink scene. So I have a lot of clinical knowledge and personal knowledge just from friends and things like that. But I try to not be specific about I personally participate in. But yeah,
we just need education in general.
I'm here for you.
Yes. I didn't know any of that, but okay.
Remember when we were trying to figure out what our kink was?
Wasn't that a fetish?
Are they the same?
No.
Is a kink and a fetish close to the same thing?
Very close.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of the same.
Very, very, very close. Used interchangeably by a lot of people.
Remember we were talking about it?
Yeah, I was trying to find out mine.
I know. But what was mine again?
Can't remember.
Having sex on a bed of money? On a bed of money?
Bed of money. Okay. Rachel, thank you for joining us. Where can people find you? Where would you want them to go? What do you need?
You guys are cracking me up. Instagram is definitely the best social platform. I'm at @theright_Rachel. And then my website is rachelwrightnyc.com.
And your show?
And my show it's on hiatus right now. So it's like not top of my mind.
Okay.
The Right Conversations, but it is there are so many episodes to listen to. It is all about sex, relationships, and mental health and the intersection of those. So if you enjoyed this conversation, you'll enjoy lots of them.
Okay. So much to learn in life. Wow. Thank you for
hope you enjoy your pregnancy and your baby. And we'll be following along and watching your journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Bye. Bye.